NBC Connecticut political correspondent, and he just lays it right out there, Max Reese. And Max comes by every now and then to join Dan and myself. Good morning. Good morning, Max.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Well, never mind me. How are you? What do you think?
I'm living the dream every day.
Well, Max, you were, and Max is in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair. You were there covering that special Senate session yesterday. Give us a flavor of what it was like, because we heard about the pressure on the three conservative Democratic senators. What was the sense like when you were at the Capitol yesterday?
Yesterday, you really got the high drama sense of kind of what you see and what we saw in Congress last week. You kind of rarely get that in state government, where there's a vote that has that kind of consequence, it has that kind of drama, it has those kinds of stakes. Early in the day, between 10 and about 3 p.m., I'd have to say, there was this back and forth where you saw, Joan Hartley, Gail Schlossberg, and Paul Doyle walking back and forth a little bit between the Senate and Martin Looney, the president of the Senate's office, where obviously, this was where, the backroom dealing, the behind-the-scenes conversation was happening. And it probably up until about 1 o'clock, I would probably say the vote was very much up in the air. I'm not going to say in doubt, but it was very much up in the air. And, the entire press corps was lining the hallway. You probably had 20 or 30 lobbyists. You had organized labor also lining the halls. You don't usually get this kind of reaction to a vote in state government. It just doesn't happen. And then as the hours went on, probably around 3, 4, 5 o'clock, it became more apparent that the Democrats had the votes, that they were going to be able to pass this thing. And, I would probably say a little bit of that, that tension probably wore off. But it was still a very different kind of day in the state capitol.
What was labor doing from a lobbying perspective? Take us through that.
So labor was, they were trying to do a vote count as much as anybody else, and those unions, whether it's AFSCME, AFL-CIO, they'll see a report in the hallway and say, hey, what are you hearing kind of thing. And then they're trying to figure out what's going on. Is this thing going to pass? And they'll stop a lawmaker in the hallway every now and then and say, hey, oh, by the way, there's this, and this in the deal. It's classic lobbying, but I think that because this was a one-day vote in the Senate, you're only talking about so many members that they knew that they had to sway. I think that's what gave it that kind of dramatic feel.
Max, one of the things, too, that people don't understand yet, but they will, that we're going to have taxes galore. When we get through, we're going to have taxes everywhere, and of course they make you with this deal think, because of the money that is being saved, they don't tell you that this goes right up until 27, and that they're going to be getting raises. I'm talking about the union folks that work for the state right on through. So we really didn't get anything. I'm talking about the middle class. They're going to get really hurt, in my estimation.
I think this was a calculated risk by the Democrats. I think that, on paper, if you look at the agreement, it is in fact very similar to previous agreements that,
that's right,
frankly, have gotten the state in fiscal trouble before. What the Democrats are banking on now is that they really think that the state's economy is going to turn around. They're framing this as part of the budget conversation, that it is in fact 30% of the projected savings that they need to get somewhere near a balanced budget for the next biennium. And but also part of the calculation for Republicans, and they did a good job yesterday of not using this as a political moment. However, if you're going to look at this through a truly pessimistic political lens, the Republicans won either way yesterday. They're able to say, look, we tried to stop this bad deal from going through, and the Democrats ended up getting it through, and Nancy Wyman was the deciding vote. If it didn't go through, then they'd be able to take responsibility and say, look, we stopped this. We saved the Connecticut taxpayer. So, you know, from that standpoint, you know, the Republicans were kind of in a no-lose proposition on the optics of this. But as for whether the tax increases are going to come, as for whether there's going to be even more sweeping cuts, we're not going to know the answer to that until probably about a year from now.
Well, the next question becomes, what about a state budget? What's the scuttlebutt as far as the timeline here?
So yesterday, Len Fasano, I think he knew what he had said on the Senate floor, but he said on the Senate floor, essentially,
tremendous speech.
I don't see how any of us could now vote for a budget, referring to the Republicans. And he said, you know, the three Democrats that voted for the CBAC agreement now have to vote for a budget because it's a part of it. Well, when you say something like that, that kind of says, well, if they voted for it, that means none of us can vote for it either. You know, one disqualifies the other, right?
Right.
And so I don't – it is so hard to see a bipartisan budget solution now. Yesterday, yes, this got the state closer to a budget in theory, but it still doesn't look like they're going to get to that 70%. If this is 30%, I don't know what the 70% looks like. And by the way, I'm not sure the Senate Democrats, especially the House Democrats, have any clue what the final 70% of a budget solution looks like. And my prediction back in March, guys, was that we wouldn't have a budget till September. And then the governor came out last week and said we're not going to have a budget maybe till October. And I think those all sound at least fairly accurate in the ballpark right now.
Wow. Well, my prediction, Max, is when we get to that point, you're going to have the same scenario, a tie vote in the Senate, and Nancy Wyman's going to break the tie vote.
Oh, after yesterday, I think that's a very fair prediction.
Yeah.
I think it's a very fair prediction. I think that that the CBAC agreement, they were able to get Doyle, Schlossberg, and Hartley around on it. I think that's a precursor to being able to get them around on a budget. However, what we haven't even talked about yet is how difficult it's going to be to get any kind of spending plan out of the House with at least 76 Democratic votes. I don't know what that looks like.
Max Reese, NBC, Connecticut political correspondent. Well, I'll tell you right now, as far as I'm concerned, this is just my opinion. We're right back where we always have been. Yes, the Republicans are doing better. They got more members up there and so on and so forth. And Len Fasano, who's going to be with us in a few minutes, gave a tremendous speech and I think is a real comer. There's no doubt about it. But what gets me upset is that you hear all these things. They've got so many more Republicans, so many more this, and we, in the end, Max, right back where we were, this long extended contract to 27. And that could bury any governor. I don't care if the governor's Democratic or Republican. I mean, seriously, that's what I'm concerned about.
That is a fact of this that can't be denied, where what was taken off the table in the next two gubernatorial terms is, and really three, if you really look at it, because of the way it overlaps into the next one, that the next governor, the next several legislatures don't have a say in this matter anymore.
There you go.
It takes it off the table.
Yep.
And, you know, the Democrats were trying to frame this in a sort of Wisconsin way yesterday. That became a new talking point, that if this doesn't happen, if this didn't happen, then this is Connecticut's Wisconsin moment when it comes to collective bargaining, when it comes to respect for the unions, the way it comes to negotiate a contract. And I think that may have been a little bit extreme. However, if you're organized labor, that's precisely the image you need to convey, that this is that important, that you need to fight for this. And like I said, that's what makes it a calculated risk that the Democrats are doing, that the Democrats went with this. And we're not really going to know the full scale implications for at least, I'd probably say, 8 to 10 months.
Max, great job.
Great job.
Yeah, thanks so much for spending some time with us today.
Thank you. Continued success.
Absolutely, guys. I appreciate the time.
You take care.